Shalom, everyone. It's time for ancient Jewish wisdom for a modern world that will change your thinking and change your life. Welcome to the Dust of the Rabbi podcast with Rabbi Brian Baruch Belecci.
Shalom, everyone. This is Rabbi Brian. I'm so glad you joined us for another episode of the Dust of the Rabbi podcast. So this is our third season, and we just finished episode 12. I'm going to call this one 12A. This is going to be a part two of how to pray like a disciple, especially learning from the rabbi of all rabbis, Yeshua the Messiah. Let's learn to pray like a disciple of Yeshua. So I'm glad you're listening, and however you like to listen to this podcast, whatever platform you like to use, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, maybe you're listening through Amazon Music or even Audible, or you're watching on YouTube, however you listen to this podcast, stay faithful and share this with a friend, because I really believe even right now today, you're inspired to listen. There are other people that are in your circle of influence that need this lesson. They need this teaching. They need this inspiration. They need this motivation, because we've been talking about how to pray like a disciple. So again, I want to share with you some of my tools today, the Sephardic prayer book that I use, and also the Bible that I love reading from is my Hebrew English Bible from Israel, from the Israel Bible Society, and it says Sefer HaBritot, which means the Book of the Covenants. It has Hebrew and English for both Old and New Testaments, and of course, I have to use my Messianic Jewish Family Bible, which is the Tree of Life, and that has a wonderful source of resource and instruction and wonderful commentary from a lot of our rabbis in the Messianic movement, especially the MJAA and the UMJC rabbis. We're so grateful to be a part of it. In fact, this week, as I'm filming, we are ready for this week's conference, the 16th through the 18th of February. I hope you registered. I hope you signed up for it. I'm teaching a course this Saturday at 3 p.m. on how to disciple this generation. And so before I go any further on that, I want to talk to you a little bit about what I'm going to talk about, because I think it really relates to what we've been talking about, praying like a disciple. My commission is the great commission of Yeshua. I fulfill his mission by not only becoming disciple, but by making disciples and becoming dusty from the dust of the rabbi. And that rabbi is Rabbi Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach, the anointed Messiah and teacher and leader and prophet that we see leading 12 men to not only full maturation, to be able to develop as not just young Jewish boys in Israel in the first century, some of them fishermen, at least over six of them, a couple zealots, and then you got a tax collector in the group. What a hard bunch disciple. I call it disciple by the dozen. I mean, that's exactly what Yeshua was trying to do, disciple by the dozen. And I have been a discipler for many years. I love a small group of people, especially if I could take a small group of young men that really don't know how to pray, how to read the Word of God, how to declare the blessing of God over their life, how to walk in God's authority, how to walk in the authority of the Word of God, walking kingdom authority. I really believe that it's time for the fathers to turn their hearts back to the sons and the sons back to the father. We have a generation gap. You know, think about all the silent years and the baby boomers, and then the X generation like myself, which then led to the Y generation, which we call millennials. And then there's the Gen Zers, come on, like my daughter who's 15, but she's going to be 16 in July, and so excited for her future. But I'm also so concerned about the generation, not only her circle of influence of friends that she could possibly have around her every day, but being a believer in a world that doesn't believe. It's hard to be a parent and know how to pray for your child. And I decided long ago that me and my wife, we were going to disciple our daughter with the same passion we disciple others. And I encourage you, pray for your children, pray for your student, pray for the people in your family, cousins, nieces, nephews, pray for anyone that's going through a hard time this season, trying to discover who they are. Learn their identity. Learn that they don't have to fall prey to society's view of what a believer, a Christian, a Messianic Jew should be. Or if you're Jewish and maybe you're struggling with identity, because in the Jewish world, there's been so many great rabbis and so many great Jewish leaders, but it seems like over the last 10, 20 years. There's been a generational gap in the Jewish world and in the Christian world, and even in other faiths where people have lost faith in what they call organized religion. And I think what's so funny about that is when you say that you don't believe in organized religion, the question is, well, then do you believe in unorganized religion? And I think that sometimes people would rather, you know, say things that are catchy and things that they're hearing from the words and the lips of those that are just spewing out maybe frustration they've had at church or synagogue life, or maybe they just are frustrated with a leader that disappointed them and they've just lost faith in the previous generation. We have to admit there has been a generation gap when it comes to people that are leading and guiding the younger generation, like Moses did Joshua, like Yeshua did his disciples. We're missing those people, like Elijah who discipled Elisha. We have to have that next generation of leaders. I've been teaching a class on next-gen communicators, and I've been teaching them about what I call the Dust the Rabbi 101, which I'm teaching them about the passage in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, where Yeshua said that a disciple, a student, what we call in Hebrew a Talmid, is not above his teacher or his rabbi, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his rabbi, like his teacher. I think there's so many people that they are looking for identity in an influencer. They're looking for it on social media. They're looking for connection. They're looking for appreciation. They're looking for acknowledgement. They're looking for inspiration and motivation. They're looking for someone to see a gift in them, an ability in them, and a potential in them. But most of the time, because we're not looking, we're not seeing the potential this generation has, and we're not able to disciple or draw out that potential so that those individuals can discover the purpose for why they were born and the gifts that God has uniquely given them that he hasn't given in the same way to another individual. Because with different fingerprints and different genetic backgrounds and different cultures in our homes, we all have something to say from our perspective. But if this generation doesn't get discipled, what will happen to the next generation? Because now we have the generation Alpha on the rise. We've already gone through all the letters of the alphabet, and now we have to go back to the Greek alphabet with Alpha. I'm sure the next one will be Beta. But this is what we have to understand, that this generation needs us. That could be a few generations that need us. Remember, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And out of Jacob came Judah, and through Judah came the Messiah. So you got to think about the generations that are leading up to the promises of God being fulfilled in our world today. So when Yeshua taught us how to pray, the disciples asked him, teach us how to pray. We found out that was in chapter 6 of Matthew, and we started last week in verse number 5, and we read up to verse number 8. And then in Matthew 6, 9, he said, use this model of prayer, or pray in this manner, pray in this way. He taught us how to pray, our Father who is in heaven, or in Hebrew, Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. Hallowed be your name, praised or holy, kadosh, set apart is your name. And the first part of that prayer, just acknowledging the Heavenly Father, that his name is set apart or hallowed or made holy. It's a level of praise that many of us need to experience first thing in the morning. We need to praise the Lord when we pray. If we're seeking him early, like David sought the Lord early, like Abraham sought the Lord early in prayer, we want to make sure that we praise the Lord. Because if you don't praise the Lord early in the morning, then you'll praise some other idol in your day. You'll praise other people, but you won't recognize the source of your answered prayer, and that's God. You know, one dear pastor friend of mine, Pastor Obed Martinez, who I've been so overjoyed to do ministry with for so many years, my brother from another mother, he's also Puerto Rican like my wife. He said that his mother, Cookie, always taught him that if you start your day with prayer, you'll end it with praise. Well, if you start your day with prayer, you also start that prayer with praise. So it's easy to end the day with praise because you give everything to God before the enemy, before circumstances or attacks can come your way. You praise the Lord and put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So when you pray, don't pray in anxiety. Pray with praise. Start with praise. So when you move to the next part of the prayer, he says, pray your kingdom come, your will be done. Think about this. We're not praying our will. We're praying God's kingdom will be done. Your kingdom will come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, all of a sudden you're realizing who has the power in the midst of your prayer. So you go from praise to power, because it's his kingdom, his power, and his authority that you're calling on when you pray. The next thing you see in the prayer is when he teaches us how to say, give us this day our daily bread, is we're praying for provision. So maybe there's something you're needing right now. Well, after you've praised the Lord and recognized he has the power to fulfill every prayer that you are going to list before him, that you're going to supplicate before him, make known to him, maybe recognizing that God has the provision for what you need. Come on, you need a vision for your provision. I'm going to say it again. You need a vision for your provision. You see, Abraham was going up Mount Moriah, and he was going to offer up his son as a burnt offering to the Lord. And God said, no, that was just a test. This is not what I want you to do. The angel stopped his hand from slaying his son, and he didn't know when he was walking in faith up that mountain that a ram was walking up the other side of the mountain. In other words, his provision was on the way. And God's provision is God's provision, the vision of the provision. In other words, whatever God sees is what he provides. When we say the Lord is our provider, we're literally saying in Hebrew, Adonai Yireh, the Lord sees, he sees to what we need, which means he provides. The next part of the prayer, we ask God to forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Are you holding on to a debt? Does someone owe you something? Are you holding on to something that you have a high expectation that they should have done this for you and they didn't, and so it's hindering your prayer life? Let go of the debt. Cancel the debt. They don't owe you anything. In fact, you owed a debt you couldn't pay. And our Savior paid a debt he didn't know. And we needed someone to wash all those sins away. And he did that for us by canceling our spiritual debt, the weight that was on our shoulders, the crime that we had committed, the things that we've done to displease our Heavenly Father. So if he forgave us of our debt, how about forgiving others of their debt? Because this is all the next P, pardon. We went from a time of prayer that starts with praise, then power, then provision, and now pardon. The next part of the prayer says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's protection. Do you know, as I pray for my daughter's protection, I pray for my wife's protection, I pray for my family's protection, I pray for my protection, I pray for your protection, I know that God is not going to lead us into temptation because he doesn't tempt anyone. And he can't be tempted with evil. In fact, Yeshua the Messiah, when he was tempted in the Judean wilderness by Satan, it was his flesh that he was being tempted and not his spirit man, because he was 100% the Word of God in human flesh. But his human flesh got hungry, and his human flesh was tired and weary because he's 100% human in his flesh. So of course he got thirsty and hungry and tired and needed sleep. But in his spirit, he is the Word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us. And that Word is divine, is God. Thank God for the Word of God that became flesh. And so we think about the power of prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit to protect us from evil. Even when Yeshua was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God to be tempted, it wasn't the Spirit that was tempting him. He was leading him not into temptation, but he was leading him into victory because he had the Word of God. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. The power of prayer and fasting can overcome the enemy. So the Spirit led him into the wilderness not to be tempted by the devil per se, as if it was a ploy of the Spirit to tempt Yeshua. It was for him to overcome the temptation, knowing that Satan was already going to be there to tempt Yeshua. And so we know that he used the Torah, three passages out of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and chapter 8, to overcome the enemy with the Word of God, saying, it is written. So when you pray the Word, as Yeshua taught us to pray the Word, you know he's not going to lead you into temptation. He's going to deliver you from evil and the evil one. And then lastly, we know God's providence, because the last P, because as we pray and start with praising the Lord and recognizing God's power, and then walk in the provision of God, walk in the pardon of God's forgiveness, and then recognize the protection of God, we should also recognize the providence of God. for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That power of God's providence means he's in control. So one of the things I want you to do is not only to make sure you're not being like these hypocrites, make sure that you're not being like some of the Pharisees that only prayed in the synagogue to be seen of men, but find that secret place of the Most High where you can pray these principles of prayer that Yeshua taught his disciples, and you can begin to think about the generations that need that protection. Come on, you might have a Gen Xer like myself in your home, your spouse. You could have a cousin who's in your home, who's of that generation. You could have, like I have, a daughter who's a Gen Zer. You could have an Alpha that's been born growing up in your household. How are you going to disciple them? And how are you going to pray for them as a disciple? This is the year, 2024, a year of obedience, a year of overflowing blessing, a year of unstoppable growth. If you're going to disciple the nations, let's start with ourselves, because disciples can disciple. If you haven't been discipled, you can't be a disciple. If you're not disciplined in prayer, you can't teach anybody else how to pray. Let's teach our kids how to pray. Let's teach those Gen Zers in our home how to pray. Let's prepare our family with blessings of prayer so that when that Gen Alpha, when that Alpha generation grows up, they will see mom and dad praying. They'll see the grandparents praying. They'll see brothers and sisters praying. And they'll grow up into the principles of prayer. And I really believe, even as I share this weekend, this Saturday, as I share on how to disciple this generation, I want to show you how, in the same way, there's the generations of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I talked about Judah because Yeshua came from that lineage. All the generations from Abraham, even into the first century, they experienced things that only prayer can overcome. And I really believe as we pray for this generation, we pray like a disciple. Let's pray for God's kingdom to come, his will to be done. And let's pray for his to be the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Let's give all glory to God for what he's going to do. We're going to make disciples of all nations. It's going to happen. As you continue to pray like a disciple, you're going to see some changes this year. Come on, in your relationships, in your finances, your faith, your family, your marriage, maybe your ministry. It's going to happen. Can't wait to see you for our next season. We're going to jump into some really powerful principles in our season 4. And I'm going to talk about becoming free as a disciple of Yeshua. And I really believe there's some people that are listening. You've been really getting dusty from the dust of the rabbi, but there's some areas in your life you need to be free from. Today, be free from procrastination and putting off your prayer time and start praying like a disciple of Yeshua. But if you're his disciple, guess what? What comes to the surface is all the junk that needs to be cleared out. We need to become free in every area of our life. Can't wait to see you soon. We love you. Leitrot. See you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, follow us for more episodes as you rate and review the podcast. Thank you for listening to the Dust of the Rabbi podcast with Rabbi Brian Baruch Belecci. Shalom. Leitrot. See you next time.